bless you. Job chapter number 13 in your Bible tonight. Good to be in the Lord's house. Appreciate the goodness of God. And honey, we may sell out of here tonight. Praise God. I heard a couple of fellas arguing over one time who was going to inherit the earth. I said to myself, every one of you can have it. I'm looking for a new one, praise God. This world is not our home, and it's good tonight to be in the Lord's house, and I appreciate the dear pastor extending an invitation to come. And boy, I saw that picture out on the foyer of the flood and how you built out of that flood this beautiful place. I tell you, God's been so good to us. And I tell you, God's been good to you folks, and I commend you on that. And looking forward to hearing Brother Carl Hatch preach for us here in just a minute. But we love Brother Tony. He's God's man for this generation. And I'm glad all the preachers hadn't compromised. They all hadn't gone liberal. There's still some around that preach it like it is. Come in as they are. Brother, I hope that's water in that cup. Praise God. Amen. Didn't you enjoy that good singing? Appreciate the good blessings of God. Job chapter number 13. And I just want to read one verse and just kind of testify a little bit and give Dr. Hudson plenty of time. And hoping he'll do the same tomorrow night. But Job was a good man. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, if you're saved and in the will of God, he said, you'll never get sick, you'll never have any problems, and you'll always have plenty of money. Now, I want to ask you a question. How can you, pastor, an independent fundamental, premillennial Baptist church, and never get sick, and never have no problems, and always have plenty of money? I ain't got that figured out yet. But, you know, that idea has really got a lot of people's mind, that when you got saved, that automatically restricted you from troubles and trials. That may sound good on TV, but that they don't match up with the Word of God. Job was a good man. He was a gracious man. He was a godly man. But a storm came into Job's life. And in a 24-hour period, Job lost everything materially that he had. In one 24-hour period, everything Job has is gone. And I learned a long time ago that it doesn't pay to trust in material things because it can be gone in a flash. I like what the songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm glad tonight that God's people, we have something that money cannot buy, and we have something that the world nor the devil can take away from us. And I'm glad what we have in God is unchangeable. But a storm came in Job's life, and you'll read about that storm in the first part of the book of Job. You'll read where disaster took his fortune. You'll read where death touched his family. You'll read where disease tortured his flesh. And you'll read where the devil tempted his faith. And you'll even read where the devil or deceit turned his friends. But you know what the Bible said? In chapter number 1, it said, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He may have been in a bitter battle, but Job refused to be bitter. He stayed with God. He kept his confidence in God. Let me say this to you tonight. Anybody can shout and smile and sing when everything is going good, when all the bills are paid and all the youngers are well, and everything, as we say down south, is hunky-dory in your life. Most anybody can shout then. But there was a little old lady that used to sing the camp meetings 25 years ago in North Carolina, and her name was Becky Luther. Becky Luther used to sing this song, if it seems, when you can sing, when it seems there is nothing to sing about, then I'll know that you know the Savior. And if you can pray when everyone else says there's no use of praying, then I'll know that you know the Savior. And I believe that's true tonight. Most anybody can have a smile on their face when they're up on the mountain. But I found out one thing. He's not only the God up in the mountain, but He's even God down in the valley. And so Job is in a storm. It seems like he's going under. And there's no way to get through it. When you come to the 13th chapter, Job makes a statement. Job comes to a conclusion. He says, this is what I'm going to do till the storm passes by. Notice what Job said in chapter 13 and verse number 15. Notice what the Bible said. Though he slay me. You know what that means in Hebrew? Job said, if it kills me, if I never make it out of the storm, if I die where I am right now, though he slay me, yet. You say, what's yet mean? That means hallelujah anyhow. Yet will I trust in him. Job said, there's one thing that I'm going to do, the only thing that I can do, and if it kills me, I'm going to trust in him. And aren't you glad tonight that we serve a God who is trustworthy? I serve a God tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that you can put your confidence in and never be disappointed. I serve a God tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that you can wait upon and you'll never be denied. I'm glad God is trustworthy. And you can not only trust God when things are going good, you can trust God when things are going bad, when all hell's against you, and the devil's on the rampage, and the winds of adversity blow across the seas of your life. I'm glad He is a God who is trustworthy. You know what the middle verse in the Bible says? It says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I promise you, you don't have to be a Baptist long to be able to say amen to that. Now, there's a lot of people, they have their eyes on the preacher, and they got their eyes on the deacons, and they got their eyes on the singers, and their eyes on different church members. And most of the time, when you look to somebody else, it's not going to be long till you get disappointed. I want to tell you about one tonight. You can telescope from a distance, a microscope real close, and you'll have to say what Pilate said. I find no fault in him. We serve a God tonight who is trustworthy. You can trust him in the valley. You can trust him in the fire. You can trust him in the conflict. You can trust him in the battle. You can trust him in the storm. And that he don't run out on us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't let us down. Can I say this to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that He is everything that He claimed to be and a whole lot more. I mean, it may be by an altar of prayer, but He'll show you that He's God. It may be in a strange land where you hang your harps upon the willows, but He'll prove to you that He's God. It may be in the bottom of a rocking ship or behind the cold bars of a prison. It may be on a lonely island called Patmos. But wherever you go in the providence of God, you'll find one thing. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He cannot fail. He will not fail. He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the midst of a conflict, in the midst of a storm, why, Job's friend says, you're just a low-down hypocrite. And his wife comes by and says, why don't you just curse God and die? And the devil comes by and says, God doesn't care. And the world comes by and says, it don't pay to do right. And the devil says, what's he going to do now? And the demons say, what is he going to do now? And his friends and his family and his wife says, what are you going to do now? And Job says, watch. He rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground, and had a smell. That's exactly what he did. He said, this is what I'm going to do. The Lord gave, hallelujah. And the Lord taketh away, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I'll think I'll just worship God. He said, I'll think I'll just praise God. I'll think I'll just go with God. You say, preacher, I'm in a storm, and the lightning's flashing, and the thunder's rolling, and the winds are blowing. I'm perplexed. I'm discouraged. I'm disturbed. I don't know what to do next. Well, lesson number one. Well, hurry up. Praise God. Shout the victory. He's God on the mountain. And He's God in the valley. He's the God of the day. He's the God of the night. I'm telling you, you can trust God in a time of crisis. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. And Job said, I'm going to trust Him. I want to hurry and give you this, that there are three things about God you'll find in the book of Job that you and I can trust in a time of crises. Chapter number 19 and verse number 25, in crises, in trouble, you can trust God's divine power. I like what Job said in 19:25. He says this, I know my Redeemer liveth. And I said tonight, if that's all you know, that's enough to get you through the storm. I know my Redeemer liveth. Aren't you glad tonight we serve a risen, living, reigning, forever Savior? He's not a victim. He's more than a historical figure of the past. He's more than the figment of my imagination. I can say, I know my Redeemer liveth. I may not know why I got to go through the storm. I may not know why I have to go through the valley. There are a lot of things I do not know, but there is one thing that I know, that I know, that I know. I know this one thing. He came from glory, and He lived among men, and He died on Calvary. But early one Sunday morning, He walked out of the grave, and He's not dead. He's not sick. He ain't even a feeling bad. He lives, He lives, and He's high on the throne. And I want to tell you, when all hell's come against you, and the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls, you can put your confidence in a God who is alive on the throne, and He's still God, and He always will be God. Job said, I just want you to know, I know my Redeemer liveth. Lord, Job was hundreds of years before Calvary, and he's still calling about, I know my Redeemer liveth. You say, Lord, have mercy. How'd he know about redemption hundreds of years before Calvary? Same way I know about redemption hundreds of years after Calvary. The Holy Ghost let him in on it. Say amen. And Son God, the Holy Ghost. Hey, I'm about to get stirred up and preach like a southern boy. Boy, God let Job look down through time. And he let him realize that God was his Redeemer. A blessed Redeemer. I'm glad he's my Savior. I'm glad he's my Redeemer. I was going through Riverdale, Georgia a while back. Had to get me some gas. And I pulled in this Texaco station. And there was this fellow there. And he had a big red dot on his forehead. Listen, I'm just a nosy person. I can't help it. I want to find out why and how come and how it got there. I thought he had radiation treatments or something. And so I said to this fellow, I said, man, what's that red dot on your forehead? He said, well, he said I went to a temple this morning. He said, I prayed to Buddha this morning. And he said, when you pray to Buddha in the temple, you get red dot on head. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said, red dot on head means to me what cross means to you. I said, I doubt that real serious. I want you to know I ain't got no red dot on my head. And I didn't come inside an old shrine tonight to bow down an old bald-headed, pot-bellied, incense-smoking piece of wood, neither. I want to tell you one thing. There's red blood inside of my heart. And I serve a God tonight who conquered death and hell and the grave. He's not a statue. He's not an idol. He's a living God. I know My Redeemer liveth. You can trust that in a time of trouble. You can trust that in a time of conflict. Job said in this verse, I will trust in Him. You can trust in God's divine power. Let me give you the second thing quickly. In the time of crises, you can trust God's definite purpose. Chapter number 23 and verse number 10. Job said, I want to tell you something. He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Can I interpret that for you? This is what Job was saying. He makes no mistakes. Hallelujah. He makes no mistakes. Job said, right now, I may not know where He is, but He knows where I am. Job said, I'm at a place right now that I don't know what to do, but He ain't never at a place where He don't know what to do. And Job said, He knoweth the way that I take. And He's got a plan. And He's got a purpose. I want to tell you, I serve a God tonight that don't work by accident. He don't work by luck. He don't work by chance or by happenings. He's a God that has a plan and a purpose for my life. And can I just tell you tonight, everything's a running on time. He's still on the throne. He's still got the reins in His hand. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ain't never occurred to Him? He's got a purpose. You can trust that. Brother, I want to tell you, when you can always trace God's hand, you can always trust God's heart. Why, there's people all over this country that's so superstitious. Man, listen. If a plague broke out and wherever I am tonight, there wasn't but one flight out of here and it was flight 666, bless God, they'd stay behind and get the plague. There's some people that's so superstitious, if they put gas in their car and they filled it up on $13, they'd run it out on the sidewalk so they wouldn't have to take 13. Why, I know some fellas that won't go deer hunting unless they got a stupid buckeye in their pocket. And that's probably somebody sitting tonight with a rabbit's foot stuck in your pocket. Don't bring you good luck. Well, it didn't help that rabbit none. Hey, there's a three-footed rabbit somewhere looking for his other foot that you got in your pocket. I want to tell you tonight, beloved, I don't live by rabbit's foot, buckeyes, four-leaf clovers. I don't get out. Somebody said, well, Ronald Reagan was president. Nancy went out and talked to the stars. And they said that now Hillary, Bill's husband, goes out there and talks to the dead spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt. I don't talk to the dead spirit of Eleanor. And I don't go out and I talk to the stars. I don't go out and pick four-leaf clovers and put rabbit's foot in my pocket. I put my life into the hands of a sovereign, holy, righteous, omnipotent, El Shaddai, Almighty, self-sufficient God. I don't live by luck or by chance. He's holding my hand. He's clearing a path. He knows the way through the wilderness. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And God is still in control. You can bank on that tonight. You can bank on that tonight. Job said, He knows the way that I take. And when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You say, preacher, wasn't it bad that Joseph got betrayed? Yeah, but it did good that he wound up on the throne. You say, isn't it bad that Joseph got lied on? Yeah, but isn't it good that he became the Savior of the world, physically speaking?
You say, isn't it bad? That's awesome. Had to go to prison. Oh, but wasn't it good when Pharaoh put that chain around his neck? By the way, on the back side of that chain, you know what it says, don't you? He knoweth the way that I take. And Joseph said this to his brethren. He said, boys, you meant it for evil. And you know, it's hard for me to realize there are some Baptists that really do mean it for evil. Lord, they'll lie on you and talk about you and accuse you and vilify you, and they meant it for evil. But I don't tell you about somebody else tonight. They may mean it for evil, but God, He means it for good. Can I report to you tonight in passing that Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible? It didn't say some things. It didn't say a few things. It didn't say every other thing. It said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Let me tell you something. You may be going through something tonight and you don't understand, but you listen to me. You can trust God in a time of trouble. You can trust His power. You can trust His purpose. God knows what He's doing. You remember this tonight. God's purpose will not fail. And I want to tell you, when Boaz walked out there and saw Ruth, it ain't Ruth, it's Ruth. He didn't drop her handfuls of accident. He dropped her handfuls of purpose. He meant to drop them. Sonny come out there one day and saw her gleaning in the field. And he said, whoa, she's pretty. Boy, oh, I ain't trying to edge in on your time, but I didn't got me in a juicy spot right here. Hello, Ruth is out there, boy. That sun's a-baking her brow. She's a-sweating all over. She's getting tired. She's getting weary. Man, she thinks she can't go another road. But, hey, man, I'll be all right in a minute. Oh, but when she got to where she thought she couldn't go another road, praise God, she'd find a handful of purpose. Boy, she'd go to quit again. But every time she got so tired, she's about to quit, she'd find another handful on purpose. I said, oh, let's say this. I'm glad He's my kinsman redeemer. I'm glad I'm a-gleaning in the field. And sometimes it gets hot. Sometimes it gets weary, and sometimes it gets rough. But just when I think I can't make it, yes, sir, He'll drop another handful on purpose. And Boaz kept dropping them handfuls. And finally, at the end of the day, whoa, she came to the last row. And there He stood, her kinsman redeemer. Can I tell you, church, men of God, pick another row. Plow another field. Preach another message. Run another bus. Because you'll find handfuls of purpose. And then when this day is over, at evening time, when we get to the last row, we'll meet Him at the end of the field. Our kinsman redeemer. You trust God. He knows what He's doing tonight. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. You can trust His divine power. You can trust His definite purpose. And I close with this tonight, number three. In a time of crises, you can trust His delightful promise. In chapter 19, in verse 25, Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And this is what He said. And He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And He says, though I'm glad He's the God of the though these skin worms may destroy my body. There's another one in yes. Yet. That means hallelujah anyhow. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job, what are you going to do in the storm? Job said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to trust His promise. What is His promise? it's not always going to be like this. He's not going to leave me in this ash heap. He's not going to leave me by these graves. He's not going to leave me in these old sackcloth and ashes. Job said, he's a-coming, and he's coming for me. You say, how do you know all about that? Hundreds of years before Bethlehem. Same way I know it now. Hundreds of years after Jesus left out on a cloud. The Holy Ghost let him in on it. Job said, I want to tell you, he's got a promise. The storm's going to pass. It's going to be over. And I'm going to go home to be with him. I want to tell you, the devil hasn't won. And the world hasn't won. And the Jane Fondas and the Ted Turners and the agnostics, they haven't won. The devil hasn't won. Hell hasn't won. He's coming back in fire and glory. And he's coming back for you and I. And when it comes, we're leaving out of here. And we're going to a country where there'll be no more storm. Oh, what a promise. That one day we're going to leave out of here. And I want to tell you, it will be worth it all. Let me back up and say, Lord of God, right now, it's worth it all. But the best is yet to come. I read this story the other day and I had me a spell. It said this little old lady got to be about 50 years old and she just couldn't get married. It seemed like nobody wanted her. And so she was going to resign to be an old maid. I'm sorry, an unpromised, an unclaimed bride. Let's put it that way. And said all her life, she wanted to go to New York City. But the doctor told her one day, you got cancer, and you're going to die soon. And she said, well, if I'm going to ride on a big jet and go to New York, I better do it quickly. And so she drew all of her savings out of the bank. She worked a little old cotton mill in South Carolina making minimum wage. And she didn't have a lot of money, but she drew out all she had. And booked her a flight on that big jet. Reserved her a room in one of them big fancy hotels. I didn't say motels. I said hotels. You say, what's the difference? Evangelism and Hollywood. Say amen right there. Boy, that little old South Carolina girl, man, sat down in that plane. She ain't never seen nothing like that in her life. Boy, that big old black limousine picked her up and carried her to that big hotel. Man, she was overwhelmed with the beauty. Man, she walked into that revolving door and went around three times before she figured out, you go straight. And boy, she walked in and seen all them marble floors and big old brass fixtures, and she said, my, I've never seen so much beauty. She rung that little bell and signed her name and paid the money. And a little fellow walked over in a funny looking suit and grabbed her suitcases and said, follow me. And she followed this little fella, and they went in this little room. The door opened, and then it shut. And she looked around, and she almost had a fit. She said, hey, there's no carpet on the floor. There's no bed to sleep in. There are no pictures on the wall. There's not even a telephone. She said, you mean to tell me I've waited all my life for this? And this is all there is to it? And the little bellhop said, oh, honey, don't cry. You're just on the elevator. What you got is up there. Boy, every once in a while the devil comes by and makes you think, I've given my whole life to serve God. And you mean this is all there is to it? Don't worry. You're just on the elevator. What you got is up there. And guess what? Before morning comes, what a shout will rise across the vaulted sky when Jesus comes in the clouds. You say, preacher, it's the year 2000. Do you still believe that? Absolutely. With all of my heart. He that will come and will not tarry. But until then, serve him. Until then, love him. Until then, praise him. Until then, love him. Until then, trust him. He's trustworthy. You can trust in the Lord in a time of trouble. And And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Aren't you glad tonight we serve a God we can trust? Heavenly Father, take the Word of God. May it find a lodging place in the depths of our heart. I pray as our dear brother comes to preach tonight, I pray that you'll give him the greater blessing and fill him with thy power and thy spirit. May he preach to our hearts tonight exactly what we stand in need of. Bless the remainder of this meeting and this church and this fine pastor. And help us, Lord, to trust you in times of doubt, in times of trouble. Help us to lean upon your bosom. Stand on your word and stay with us.